Elder J. Ballard Washburn served as a member of the Second Quorum of the 70 from March 1990 to October 1995. He served the church in many capacities, including as a member of the Africa Area Presidency, Utah North Area Presidency, an assistant director in the Priesthood Department, counselor in the General Presidency of the Sunday School, president of the Arizona Phoenix Mission, president of the Las Vegas, Nevada Temple. He also served as a regional representative and as a stake president. Currently, he serves as a sealer in the Boise, Idaho Temple. Elder Washburn graduated from BYU and the University of Utah Medical School. He practiced medicine in Page, Arizona for 28 years. Elder Washburn and his wife, late wife Barbara, are the parents of 10 children, and through the years have welcomed 12 foster children into their home. Currently, they have 58 grandchildren.
President Sister Clark, Brother Hobbs, Lexi, and faculty and students, thank you for the privilege of coming here to be with you. It's like taking a drink out of the fountain of youth, and I appreciate it very much, the wonderful spirit that we feel here. In 2 Nephi chapter 33, verse 1, it says, "When a man speaketh by the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost carrieth it unto the hearts of the children of men." Elder Bednar's taught us that that unto needs to have you change that to into. I've done everything I know to do to be prepared to come here today. And I humbly ask Heavenly Father to bless us that I can speak under the influence of the Holy Ghost. If you've come prepared, and if you pray that your heart will be opened, then my message will not just be carried unto your heart, but into your heart. I titled the message today, Our Mission in Life. The hour doesn't mean me and you, it means you and your sweetheart. Now, I know that some people have to go through this life without being sealed to a sweetheart, but those who have to, at a later time, will have the privilege of standing by someone that they love with all their heart, that will be their eternal mate. And I feel sorry for those who have to wait, but in God's wisdom, there's a reason for that. But what I want to talk to you about today is you and the person that will be your eternal mate. President Joseph Fielding Smith said, "He that sent his only begotten Son into the world to accomplish a mission, the mission that he did, also sent every man and woman in the world to accomplish a mission." So I want you to think about that for a minute. When we had that great council in heaven, Heavenly Father didn't say, "Now, Jesus, you've got this great redeeming work to do. Now, the rest of you, you can go off here." And he didn't do that. He said to each one of us, "In our turn, I have a special mission for you to fulfill upon the earth." And that's what I would like to talk with you about today. When you hear the word mission, why, at your age, it probably means, yeah, that's that 2 years in some place, you know, or 18 months. And I highly recommend that to you. I don't know of any better preparation for your real mission in life than to go and serve the 2 year, the 18-month mission. So those of you who haven't had that privilege and blessing, I hope you'll take advantage of it. Not just to preach the gospel, but what it will do to you to prepare you for your real mission in life. It will be a great, great blessing to you to help you. Now, what is your mission in life? To you young men, your mission in life is to be a patriarch. To you young men, your mission in life is to be a righteous patriarch. What are you talking about, Brother Washburn? You think they're going to call me to be the stake patriarch tomorrow? No. I'll explain to you what I mean. To you young women, your mission in life is to be the heart of a family, the very heart that keeps the blood flowing, that sends out the impulse that keeps it alive. So your mission in life is to be a patriarch and the heart of a family. Now, you've probably heard this next statement 1,000 times in your growing up years, but I want to say it again because it's true. And I'm going to say it in the first person. The most important thing that I will do for the rest of my life is to marry the right person in the right time, at the right time, in the right place, by the right authority. I'm going to say it again, and I won't have you say it out loud, but I want you to say it in your mind with me. The most important thing that I will do for the rest of my life is to marry the right person at the right place, at the right time, by the right authority. In the 131st section of the Doctrine and Covenants, it says, in the celestial glory, there are three heavens or degrees. And in order to obtain the highest, a man must enter into this order of the priesthood, meaning the new and everlasting covenant of marriage. If he does not, he cannot obtain it. He may enter into the other, but that is the end of his kingdom because he cannot have an increase. Now, it uses the word man there, but it uses it generically. In the celestial kingdom, there are three heavens or degrees. We're not talking about the 3 degrees of glory. We're talking about the celestial. It's divided into 3 parts. And in order to obtain the highest, a person must enter into this order of the priesthood. It's an order of the priesthood, meaning the new and everlasting covenant of marriage. Now, you young men can become elders without your sweetheart. You can become high priest. Theoretically, you could become an apostle. But that is not the priesthood necessary for exaltation in the celestial kingdom. The priesthood necessary for exaltation you receive in the temple with your sweetheart, both of you together, enter that order of the priesthood called the new and everlasting covenant of marriage. What is the new and everlasting covenant? Well, the new and everlasting covenant's the gospel, isn't it? All of the gospel. Why is it new? Because it's restored each time that a new dispensation comes. Why is it everlasting? Because it was there at the first and it will be there at the end. So it's the new and everlasting covenant. There's the new and everlasting covenant of baptism, which is part of the new and everlasting covenant. But the crown jewel of the new and everlasting covenant is the new and everlasting covenant of marriage. So when you kneel at the altar with your sweetheart and someone who's been given the authority to seal on earth and to seal in heaven, the same authority that Jesus gave to Peter when he said those words, I give unto you the kingdom of heaven, that whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. When you kneel there at that altar, then a new little kingdom is created. And you, young men, become the patriarch to that new little kingdom. That's how you become a patriarch, there in the house of God. And you beautiful young ladies, become the very heart of that new little kingdom. The greatest blessings that God has for his children cannot be received by an individual person. I want to say that again. The greatest blessings that God has for his children cannot be received by an individual person. The greatest gift that he has, as explained in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 14, Verse 7, he says this, "And if you keep my commandments and endure to the end, ye shall have eternal life. Which gift is the greatest of all the gifts of God?" Eternal life, eternal is one of Heavenly Father's names. And eternal life is to have a life like He has. That is what it means. You cannot receive that by yourself. Only with your sweetheart, the two of you together, can receive it. President David O. McKay said, "Next to eternal life, the most precious gift that our Heavenly Father can bestow upon man is His children. A man can't have a child, and a woman can't have a child by themselves. Only a man and a woman together can enjoy God's greatest blessings." Now, how are you going to become a successful patriarch? There's no magic wand that's waved there in the temple that makes you that. When they went to Jesus and asked Him what is the great commandment in the law, you remember in the 22nd chapter of Matthew that He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So He said we should love God with all our heart. One other time He said that we should love someone with all of our heart. I want to read to you from the 42nd section of the Doctrine and Covenants. "Thou shalt love thy wife with all thy heart." So you'll get to be a good patriarch when you learn to love God more than you love yourself. You'll get to be a great patriarch when you learn to love your sweetheart more than you love yourself. I'm going to tell you about two bad examples. Sometimes we can learn from bad examples as well as good examples. I'm a little embarrassed that I have to use myself as the bad example. After we had been married for several months, we were living in Provo in a little apartment and trying to get through school. And I heard that there was going to be a basketball tournament down in my hometown, Blanding, Utah. And I thought, man, wouldn't that be great to go down there and play ball, and you know. My wife, as I said, was, we had one little boy and she was expecting again, and she didn't want me to go. Selfish, isn't she? You know, but what did I do? For 60 years, I've been sorry that the answer to that is I went. For 2 days and two nights, went down there and played basketball and came back home. She should have hit me over the head with the two before, but she didn't. She was kind and forgiving. And why did I do that? Obviously, I loved me more than I loved her. So I was growing and learning, and several years later, then we were living in Page, Arizona. I practiced medicine there for many years, and I tried to do what was right. As a matter of fact, I'd been called to be a stake president. I was the president of the Kanab Utah stake. That was the stake we were in. Two or three state conferences after we were put in, why Elder Boyd Packer, who's now the president of the Quorum of the Twelve, came to be our visiting authority. And in our first meeting after the opening prayer, why, he said, "I'd like to get a little better acquainted with you." And then he called on me first. And can you imagine? There you've got a general authority trapped in your office. You know, he's not going to get up and walk out. And so there was my chance. And so I started in, poor little boy that his father died when he's young, and, you know, and he fought his way through and went on a mission and got through school and went to medical school and on and on and on. And when I finally warmed down a little bit, what do you think Elder Packer said to me? Do you think he patted me on the back and said, aren't you a good boy, you know? He didn't. I'll never forget the words. He said to me, do you have a wife? Do you have a wife? I felt so ashamed. I've wished for 40 years that I could rerun that part of my life. And you know what? I can, and I have. I've been able to rerun that because of a loving Savior. I could go back and run that part over again and do it like it should have been done and say, Brother Packer, because of a loving Father in heaven and because of a wonderful Savior, they put great teachers in my path and taught me and helped me. They blessed me with an angel mother that was always there to encourage me. The greatest thing they did is they gave me, when I came home from my mission, they put a beautiful daughter of God in an apartment just back of where I lived. And she was willing to say, yes, I will marry you. I don't know why she did, but she did. And because of her and because of these other good people, why, we were in the position that we were in then in life. So you can see I was still growing. I was still trying to learn to love Heavenly Father more than I loved myself. And it's a process. I was still trying to become the patriarch that I should be to that little kingdom. And it will be a process for you. It won't happen overnight. But if you keep trying, and if you keep praying and keep trying to do what's right, why, Heavenly Father will lead you on in the paths of righteousness. Excuse me. Now, I want to promise you this. Old Scratch will do everything he can possibly do to destroy your little kingdom. He is very, very effective at it. That's his whole goal in life. Elder Packer has said, the single purpose of Lucifer, listen to this, the single purpose of Lucifer is to oppose the great plan of happiness, to corrupt the purest, most beautiful, and appealing experiences of life, romance, love, marriage, parenthood. I want to read it again. The single purpose of Lucifer is to oppose the great plan of happiness, to corrupt the purest, most beautiful, and appealing experiences of life, romance, love, marriage, and parenthood. Well, old Scratch won't win with you because you won't listen to his doctrine. He's out there preaching, don't get married, don't get married. He's out there preaching, if you do get married, you don't want to have any children. He's out there doing everything he can to not let you have the wonderful experience of falling in love with a beautiful, sweet, young daughter of God and starting your own little kingdom and becoming the patriarch to that kingdom and becoming the very heart of that kingdom. He's out there trying his best, but he will not succeed. Now, let me caution you that it isn't just the people of the world, but right in our midst, we have to be careful. Listen to what President David O. McKay said. He said, love realizes his sweetest happiness and his most divine consummation in the home where there's, in the home where the coming of children is not restricted. Where the coming of children is not restricted, where they are made most welcome, and where the duties of parenthood are accepted as a co-partnership with the eternal Creator. Since I was asked to give this talk, I've done a lot of reading about what the prophets have said about having children. Let me tell you what the Heavenly Father said. He said it to Adam and Eve, the very first thing. He said, to multiply and replenish the earth, that you may have joy in your posterity. Let me tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said, suffer the children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. How are they going to come to Jesus if they don't come through you? How are they going to come to him if you're not willing to have them come and you be the teacher and the mentor to help them become what they should be? Decisions in life should not be made by a man and a woman talking it over together. It should be made by asking Heavenly Father, what should we do? And then letting the Spirit tell you what you should do. And I can promise you that if you'll go to the temple together and sit in the celestial room for a bit and meditate and pray, that he will tell you the right thing to do. But in all of my reading and all of my searching and reading the words of the prophets, I didn't find one that said, don't have children. I didn't find one that said, put off having children till you get through with school. I didn't find it any place. So, what am I saying to you? I'm saying that there's a little kingdom created when you kneel there in the temple. That little kingdom has a king and a queen, but it needs some subjects. You need to open up your hearts and be willing to say, Heavenly Father, we would love to have one of your spirits come and be in our home with us. I asked present Sister Clark if it was all right if I said this to you. They had five children, and I think the oldest one was 8. And anybody with any sense would say, well, that's enough, you know. We can't. They didn't do that. They said, Heavenly Father, if you want to send us more, why, we will receive them. And what did the Heavenly Father do? He didn't just send them one, he sent them two. Two beautiful little girls that they could hardly tell apart. What if they had said after those five, that's it, we're through, you know, this is hard work, and missed out on those two sweet twin girls? Well, it's not my place to tell you how many children you should have, but it's Heavenly Father's place, and don't you make the decision without him being involved. Don't you say to him, sorry, no room in our inn. No room in our inn, we're too busy doing this or that or the other or whatever it is. You use an excuse. There's a protection against Old Scratch and what he wants to do to you. That protection is found right up there in that temple up on the hill. In the 109th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, the dedicatory prayer of the Kirtland Temple, President Joseph Smith said these words, we ask thee, Holy Father, that thy servants may go forth from this house armed with thy power that thy name may be upon them, and thy glory round about them, and thine angels have charge over them. You can claim that blessing. You can claim that blessing. If you'll give the Lord an acceptable offering in your temple worship, then you can go to the temple and say, Heavenly Father, remember the words of the prophet Joseph. We ask thee, Holy Father, that thy servants may go forth from this house armed with thy power, that thy name may be upon them and thy glory round about them, and thine angels have charge over them. You can claim that blessing for your little kingdom. Now, you could say to me, what are you saying, Brother Washburn? Do you mean our little kingdom can have the blessings that Abraham had? Do you mean that we can have a posterity as numerous as the sands of the sea? That's exactly what I'm saying to you. That's what God has promised you, if you'll keep the covenants that you make with him. Brother Washburn, do you mean to tell me that you think that our little kingdom can take the gospel to all the earth? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying to you. Your little kingdom will be a part of the great plan of taking the gospel to all the earth. Do you mean that we, our little kingdom, can be saviors on Mount Zion? That we can join with Christ in redeeming Heavenly Father's children? That's exactly what I'm saying. And if you're the kind of patriarch you should be, that's exactly what will happen. If you're the kind of heart to that little family that you should be, you dear sisters, that's exactly what will happen. And that's your mission here in this life. That's what you're here for. Now, my dear wife passed away about 14 months ago. In her last months of her life, she didn't have good health. And it was my blessing to take care of her. And what a blessing it was. And she taught me things. One of the things she taught me that I want you to always remember is we go to the temple to make the covenants, but we go home to keep the covenants. The home is the testing ground. We go to the temple to make the covenants, but we go home to keep the covenants. The home is the testing ground. There's where you will learn to love Heavenly Father more than you love yourself. There's where you'll learn to love your sweetheart more than you love yourself. What do I have to look forward to? Let me tell you in the words of Elder James E. Talmage. He said, mortal eye cannot see, nor mind comprehend, the beauty and glory and majesty of a righteous woman made perfect in the celestial kingdom of God. I want to say it again. Listen carefully. Mortal eye cannot see, nor mind comprehend, the beauty, glory, and majesty of a righteous woman made perfect in the celestial kingdom of God. I think my sweetheart went ahead because she needed to get things ready for the rest of us as we would come along. So I'm grateful to her. Now, we're going to have show and tell. I want you to meet Jace. And Jace, please, we've got to have a patriarch. Jace and Jolene. I don't know if Jace looked like a patriarch to you or not, but he does to me because I know him. He was wise enough to marry one of our granddaughters. And he's a good man. He served the Lord. He served a mission to get prepared for this greater mission. And they married in the temple. And there's a patriarch, brothers and sisters, growing to be what he will become. And here's the very heart of the family. The very heart. willing, anxious to give of herself, to get up out of bed at night and take care of a little baby. Now I want you to meet this little fellow's name is Jeffrey Bartlett Dilley. Does he look like a patriarch? He's a patriarch in embryo. He is. And someday, he will be doing just what his dad did. He will be going to the temple with his eternal sweetheart and creating a new little kingdom and working his heart out to accomplish good things and to help the Savior in the great redemptive work for Heavenly Father's children. So, yes, he's a patriarch. Yes, in embryo, but he is, and we love him. Now, it's time for me to quit. I want to ask you to do two things before I quit. We're going to sing as the closing song, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee. I want to ask you, and this isn't a big assignment, but it's important. I want you to get a little 3x5 card, and I want you to write the first letter of each word. Jesus, just put the J, the, put another, put a T, very, put a V, for all four verses. And then I want you to memorize that. I want you to memorize the song that we're going to sing, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee, with sweetness fills my breast, but sweeter far thy face to see and in thy presence rest. Then, when old Scratch comes along and tries to get you to think of something you shouldn't, you just say, buzz off, brother, I've got something else to do. And you start singing that song, or if you can't sing, start saying it over in your mind. And if you'll work at that and keep trying, old Scratch is a quitter, and pretty soon he won't be coming to you and saying, no, think of this that you shouldn't be thinking, or think of that. You'll push him aside, and you'll be doing the things that you should be doing. The second thing I want to ask you to do is, in your personal prayer, after you address your Father in heaven, don't make the time that you say anything about Jesus in that prayer at the very end when you just say, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Don't do that. When you say your personal prayer and after you've addressed your Father in heaven, then very early on, maybe the very first thing, tell him how you feel about Jesus. Talk to him about Jesus. Tell him that you're so grateful to have a loving Savior that would come to earth and die for you. Tell him that you're so grateful that Jesus would give you the glorious gift of a resurrection and a forgiveness of sins. Number one, you're going to memorize Jesus, the very thought of thee. Number two, in your personal prayers, on a regular basis, you're going to talk to Heavenly Father about how you feel about Jesus. If you'll do those two things, it will be a great, great blessing to you. So, I want to leave you my testimony. When I stand there on the judgment day, Jesus is not going to say one word to me about any position I held in the church. Not one word. He's going to say to me, did you keep the covenants? Did you keep the covenants? Every one of us that becomes a patriarch or the heart of a family makes covenants in the temple. Do you know what those covenants are? Do you think about them? Are you trying to keep them? He's going to say to me, do you keep the covenants? And then he's going to say ask one other question. He's going to say, where's your family? And I hope, like everything, that I can say, here they are. Here they are. So I pray God's blessings on each one of you young men, that you'll realize the great potential you have to be a patriarch, because literally that's your mission in this life. I pray that He'll bless each one of you beautiful young women to realize that you're going to be the very heart and soul of a little kingdom of God, the very one that keeps the blood flowing and keeps the pulse beating, and that will make it be a success. It's the way of happiness. It's the way of happiness. It's the hard way, but hard is good. Hard is good. I witness to you that I know that President Thomas S. Monson is a prophet of God. I've had the wonderful privilege in my life of having him place his hands upon my head. I know him, and I know he's a prophet of God, but great as he is, it's not the church of Thomas Monson, is it? It's the church of Jesus Christ, and I bear witness of him. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.